afternoon. Today is Christmas Eve, Wednesday, December the 24th, 360th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County 3rd District Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Hey, guy.
How are you?
Oh, you're holding that cell phone so very gingerly. It must be he got the chance to find the quote today.
Yeah,
he's holding on to it. He's
trying to find you a good Dickens quote.
There we go. Well, we'll find out how long it takes to do that. And when we come back, we'll review the year that was. We'll see which one is more interesting in just a moment.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace, but before we do our quote.
Our quote this afternoon comes from Charles Dickens, just in time for Christmas. "A Merry Christmas, Bob," said Scrooge, with an earnestness that could not be mistaken, as he clapped him on the back. "A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I have given you for many years. I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family, and we'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon over Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, Bob. Make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit."
Holy cow. So what do you think about 2014?
You know, most years, always a mixed bag. Yeah, there's things that the county took on to try to address, particularly public safety issues, and made some good progress with voter supporting Measure Z, which we'll be implementing in this coming year. So that was good, the fact that we were able to be proactive on something, making moves towards addressing it. Of course, the need is a bad thing, you know, so there's a good and bad right there. The fact that our public safety issues had become so acute that we needed to take this step of a sales tax.
How long have you guys been here?
I got here about 5 minutes ago. What do you?
No. You know what I mean. In the county. I'm looking for a time reference.
I've been on the board for 6 years now.
Right, but you've been in Humboldt County.
Oh, I've been here for about 25 years now.
Okay, so that's probably long enough for you to see a lot of the changes.
Yeah, definitely.
That we're dealing with. Yeah, you know, I still have a tough time because I would use the 60s as my reference.
Well, if you can remember the 60s, you obviously didn't experience the 60s.
Hey, man, I was like born in 60. Yeah. Okay, I'm fuzzy the first half of the decade. I'll grant you. Don't know what I was doing when Kennedy was shot, frankly. But the community certainly has changed, and law enforcement roles have changed. Mm-hmm. Right? When you look at some of the historical stuff, what do you see as some of the trends that either have continued this year or that maybe turned a corner this year?
Well, you know, if you want to go way back in terms of, you know, these issues like that, you have to look at all the changes that have happened and how we fund government. You know, the basis for all the things that the county does and the workload that the county does. You know, there's been a shift from the state to local governments that's all been cleverly hidden within this anti-state rhetoric, you know, that, oh, the state, you know, is taking our money, and so we need to have more control. And so the state gives us more control of programs that we're now obligated to provide without the funding. And so there's been this strange way of using that as a way to provide, put more obligations on local governments without giving us the means. You know,
almost a foil.
Yeah, if the means weren't adequate for the state to deal with certain issues, and then the same or lesser amount of means is not going to be adequate for local governments to address those issues. And along with that has been a consistent shift away from the idea of funding all the things that we need as a society broadly, and moving towards more of a fee-for-service model, which is hard to apply to a lot of things that the public sector does. You know, there's things where it is appropriate. If someone's building a house, no one else in the community should pay their permitting cost, you know, because what do you gain from that guy building a house, you know, in the another corner of the county? You know, so there's things where that is appropriate, but then there's other things that are just really hard to reduce down to that kind of model. And we need to recognize that there has to be an adequate general fund for the county to be able to provide those things. And so that's why
I mean, that's why it's called that, right?
General? Yeah, yeah, for us to spend as needed.
What happened, going back to some of the categorical funding, I'm thinking gas tax. It doesn't seem to go there anymore. Was there a loosening of the language?
No, it still goes happens? There. It's just it goes into the highway user tax account, or HUTA.
So all the stuff that goes to the state.
The problem is that it was a set amount of 18 cents per gallon. In 1984, I think, and its purchasing power is somewhere around 39% of what it was at that time. So gas prices have gone way, way up because it's a per gallon amount. It didn't increase with the price of gasoline. It also didn't increase with inflation. And so it now has, again, something somewhere less than 50% of its purchasing power. And so, you know, we have less money to maintain more miles of highway, which are wearing at a faster rate because there's more cars using them, driving more miles each year.
Yeah, the wear and tear is certainly a lot more than what it was at that time.
And the cost of construction goes up for, you know, all of the reasons everything goes up, including, you know, greater technical requirements of how we're going to build them. Better engineered roads cost a lot more money, and yeah, the environmental that goes with that can be excessive. Without having reduced by action the amount, it's gone down because it was never keyed to inflation. And so we have far less money, again, somewhere around half or less gas taxes being collected to fund far more costs.
Doesn't the county get a piece of the...
I can't recall
small,
the exact...
Small, but
the exact way that it's divided out, but...
And that goes straight into Public Works for road maintenance?
Yeah, there's some portion, you know, Director Mattson from Public Works would, of course, be the best person to talk to on that. But as I recall, there's a portion.
He didn't show up today.
Yeah,
sorry.
I didn't. Yeah. So you invited the wrong guy. But there's a portion that goes to local governments for standard, you know, for us to spend on. But realistically, that portion is pretty minor for maintenance. And realistically, the heavy lifting that needs to be done is almost all in, you know, applying for funding on a project-by-project basis. You know, the small amount in the low millions that we get per year for road work would just not begin to cover what we need to get done.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, 2014 obviously was an election year.
Mm-hmm.
A number of things changed there. You referenced Z. A number of other measures also went through. The general overall relationship between the electeds at the local level and the electeds at the state level, did it change significantly this year because of some of those budget pressures?
I don't think it changed because of budget pressures, but it did change by, you know, the nature of the election, you know, that we had Assemblyman Chesbro terming out after having served the maximum term in the Senate, maximum term in the Assembly. And so he's now done in the state legislature. And meanwhile, Senator Evans had determined not to run for re-election. And so that meant all of our North Coast representatives, both of our North Coast representatives in the state legislature were changing over. So we now have Jim Wood in the Assembly and Mike McGuire in the Senate. And so we're going to be, you know, looking at new relationships there. We're not going to have the past history that we have, certainly with Wes, someone who's from the North Coast, who's, you know, was in local government for so many years here before going to the state level, and who has really been a great representative for us because of that. We're now dealing with two folks, both from Sonoma County, that we need to make sure that they come to understand the North Coast. And they're both making really good efforts at being present, at being here, at doing the outreach to understand our North Coast issues. But it's something that we have to make sure now that they're both elected, that they keep that up. It's one thing to show up when you're running for office. It's another thing to show up the next day after you're elected and to keep showing up. I'm very hopeful in that way. I think both of them have shown a real earnestness in wanting to familiarize themselves with the whole district. But it is a long, difficult district to represent, difficult to get to the north end of it, no matter what way you try what mode of transportation you use.
Well, take boat. Might be a lot quicker right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just yesterday, you know, even driving up, you couldn't do yesterday.
Yeah, it's some of the slides and stuff that are kicking around all over the place. It's interesting for a lot of us, I think, to, you know, because we're not on the road that much, to experience, see a picture of Hopland and the boat, or, you know, some of the different challenges that they're dealing with down in Sonoma County or Marin County. I mean, it's so far away for so many of us, out of sight, out of mind. But it's certainly issues that they're having to deal with down there. And I suppose that might be a good lesson for us, or a way for us to remember, you know, the guys in Sacramento really don't have a clue what's going on here. We're so far away. Whether there are electeds or whether there's somebody else's electeds, how do you keep yourself connected to some of the decisions that are made, even by you guys in Eureka, and what the impact is, whether it's in Blue Lake or whether it's in Hoopah or Southern Humboldt, somewhere that you're not apt to just kind of stumble over and to see?
Well, we each, you know, on our board, each of us represents, you know, very diverse districts. And, you know, there's such a huge difference between, say, Supervisor Bass's district, which is essentially the city of Eureka and a little bit of unincorporated area around it, and Supervisor Sundberg's district, which the only incorporated city he has is a city of Trinidad, which is one of the smallest cities in the state. I think it's the second smallest in the state.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's the first?
There's one in, I think in Alpine County, maybe, that there's one that's like 127 people, something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Ridiculously small.
Have your picture taken at the city limits.
Like 300 is not ridiculously small, but you know, it makes 300 look big. Let's put it that way. So, you know, and such a diverse area that he has, you know, going all the way up to the Orrick and all the way out to Hoopah and Orleans. We each represent our districts differently and appropriately in how we do outreach to those far-flung communities that we each have. You know, for myself, I've got, you know, the city of Arcata is, of course, kind of the core of the district, but city of Blue Lake, Neyland, Freshwater, Manila, and Bayside, you know, and other places that may not qualify as a, you know, don't have a name for the community, but there's, you know, houses out there in that
white
area.
White spot in the road.
Yeah, you know, Mitchell Heights area, perhaps. So, you know, it takes getting out there. It takes being in touch with people. And some of these small communities that don't have a community center, that don't have a hub, you know, there's no place to go to check in. You know, you can't just go, you know, walking around and popping into, you know, knocking on doors or popping into businesses because there are none, you know. And
kind of lucky if there's a school.
Yeah. So, you know, there's not a place, there's not a coffee shop you can hang out in and just run into people to ask them how things are going. So, yeah, that gets a little harder in some of these communities to really find a good way to connect with them. But each of us does, you know, finds our own relationship with our district to try to do that. As far as our relationship with the state, you know, it's that is, again, something that changed this year with these new representatives, but have confidence that they're both really showing a willingness and interest in representing us well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon, Christmas Eve afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, it's kind of one of the things I enjoy doing is looking at either yes, no, up, down, things like that. Mm-hmm. So play a little exercise with you. Unfortunately, you're at the target end of this one instead of the shooting end. Mm-hmm. What things in 2014 within the county were fixed?
Well, the first thing that I would point to would be, again, Measure Z. We haven't seen the fruit of that yet. That's something that will happen over the course of 2015. But pushing that through, having the support of law enforcement, the deputy sheriff's organization, our fire agencies, and ultimately the support of the public. And that obviously we couldn't get it through without that. So that's something that we see as a huge benefit to help us address public safety issues broadly. Boots on the ground for deputies, particularly in the rural areas, better fire response times, better ambulance response times, but also, you know, recognizing that bringing folks in when there's been a crime, bringing folks in doesn't do any good if you don't have the ability to effectively run them through the legal system. So we have to be able to look at, you know, this is going to help us deal with shortages in the district attorney's office, public defender, anyone that goes to jail. You know, you can't just release them onto the street and expect that somehow putting them in with a bunch of other, you know, career criminals is going to make them, you know, a good person. You've got to help rehabilitate people, and that means dealing with probation issues, mental health issues, drug and alcohol issues, all these things to try to fix these problems. So this funding from Measure Z, we think, is going to make a big difference in the coming year. So that's a big one that we dealt with. Lots of smaller individual issues. In my district, Blue Lake, there's been a lot of concern about the levee out there in Blue Lake for many, many years. Which there was a change. It used to be that any levee that hadn't been studied and determined that it was not sufficient was assumed to be adequate. And instead, FEMA changed their standards after Katrina when they saw, you know, levees.
Whoops.
Yeah, fail. They said that unless your levee has been studied and found, you know, after this huge process, determined to be sufficient, it's assumed to not be. And so everything behind it is assumed to be at risk. And so we've made some real progress this year. Got to give an appreciation to.
Is that the Mad River channel, keeping it within the banks?
Yeah, keeping it. It's there's a stretch of levee that protects the city of Blue Lake right on that curve as it comes out from the kind of the canyon, as it were, up above the Mad River hatchery and turns that corner. To head towards the
the industrial park area.
Yeah, and the levee that protects that, and there's part of it that's the county's responsibility, part of it's the city's responsibility. And the county has, you know, far greater capacity in terms of the technical capacity and expertise. I've got to give my appreciation to Hank Seaman, who's been working on that issue and has been able to really move that forward really well in a way that's given us a little more leeway to prevent folks behind it from suddenly being assessed differently for being in a flood zone, you know, which would affect their ability to, you know, flood insurance issues and all of that. So that process is not done. You know, the studies that came back determined that there is work to be done there, but you know, now we move on to that phase and we can address this and eventually get those certified. Get that levy certified so that we can be sure that everyone behind it is protected. So that's something that, you know, continues to be ongoing and is doing really well. The airline recruitment effort, while we still don't have anything, you know, finalized on that, there is a huge push this year, entirely within the course of this year, to change our approach. Because we'd had the $750,000 Small Communities Air Service Development Program grant from the federal government that we had raised $250,000 to match it. So we had $1 million available for this minimum revenue guarantee, which we've spoken about in the past. But we were stuck with the problem that we can't apply the federal portion of that $750,000, we can't apply that towards service to LAX, which is our primary destination, which is the place that we need to get to. And so after struggling with this one way or another, you know, all the different approaches, we finally said, well, let's raise the other $750,000 here locally. And we've done a phenomenal job. And I want to make sure to give my appreciation to both Supervisor Bass, who has, you know, worked with me on that, and with REDEC and other folks in the Fly Humboldt organization, but also to former Councilman Mike Newman and Chet Albin, who both really worked on that effort too to help raise that additional money. The Convention and Visitors Bureau stepped up with essentially with $250,000 to be matched by the Humboldt Lodging Alliance through the money they've raised with their Tourism Business Improvement District. And the rest of the community has really rallied to raise the remainder of that money. And so we're now, as we sit today, I don't think we've yet got the final piece of it, but we're within, you know, very, very close to that $1 million, and that will give us what we need to be able to finally bring in this service.
Across the finish line, there's somebody there waiting?
There's a number of airlines that have shown interest, and they, you know, they've just, you know, we've realized that there's no sense going knocking until we have that money to, in hand. And so once we've got it, then that's going to make these conversations move a lot more smoothly, instead of them saying, yeah, get back to us when you got the cash. So so we're all, you know, very hopeful that we're going to see a change on that within this coming year.
When that comes to pass, is there any thoughts, any way to lock them in, like for a 10-year commitment, a 15-year commitment? Is it like 3 months, and if we don't like the way you look, we're out of here? I mean, what kind of
it's all under the terms
guarantee is there?
It's all under the terms of the minimum revenue guarantee, and if it's $1 million for 1 year, or $1 million for 2 years, or you know, whatever it is, there's going to be terms in there. Ultimately, though, each side will have, like, you know, 180-day termination, you know, right to terminate, you know, to walk away. And so realistically, you get just, you know, as with anything with the private sector, you can't, you know, demand someone continue to stay if they're losing money, you know. And we had that discussion with the Humboldt Lodging Alliance. You know, when
you're saying that's a purview of government only?
It's, yeah. Well, that's the thing the government does. We step in, you know, where the risk is too high, and maybe there's something that needs to be provided that there isn't a free market business argument for, but there is a public need. And yeah, you know, with this, what we're doing is we're buying down that risk to where the public sector or the private sector has enough interest to give it a shot.
KINS News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, what were some of the things that were broken in 2014, things that need attention that this time last year you weren't thinking needed it?
See, right offhand, I think that most of the things that were broken in 2014 are things that have been carryovers or have continued to be broken. The public safety issues that, you know, we've needed to address, you know, with Measure Z are things that have been building over a course of years. It's hard to say there was something that happened in 2014 that did that. Certainly a lot of that came to the fore. Yeah, there was really a moment right early in 2014 with the tragic murder of Father Fried that highlighted that.
Yeah, it was frightening. It was 12 months ago.
Wow.
Well, we must be getting old.
So, it was, you know, so that was something that, you know, helped to define that to some degree. But again, these are have been ongoing things that have been building over time. A lot of the issues around marijuana cultivation, a lot of the crime that has accompanied that because of its black market status, because it's not legal, not regulated. Yeah, that's continued to worsen over the years, to the point that now it seems like even the state and the federal government are finally recognizing that prohibition isn't working that we need to, you know, whether you like it or not, there's no other, you know, industry in the, you know, that we deal with in that way by just saying it's bad, so you can't, you know, you can't regulate it. You know, we need to regulate the impacts of it, just like we do with tobacco, just like we do with alcohol, just like we do with other things that we may have differences in terms of, you know, how we view the social impacts of it.
I suppose the only parallel that might be, is prostitution. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it is legal. Well, I guess, you know, now marijuana is legal in a couple of states, too, so it's there. But, yeah, I mean, just even last week, you know, it was the blood and guts hour. Mm-hmm. You know, every day in the local news, it was like somebody else going down.
Which, again, is it because of marijuana per se, or is it because of the crime around it, the crime from the black market?
Yeah.
The drug culture and the fact that it's all necessarily illegal. You know, by the nature of the way the industry is right now, even Proposition 215, you know, it's by keeping it underground, you've made it attractive to drug trafficking organizations. And it's attracted more crime than, far more crime than would be there if it was legal and regulated. So hopefully we'll see some changes.
And to a different extent.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see some changes this year. I believe that the state legislature really understands that it is going to be on the ballot in full legalization will be on the ballot in 2016. It will pass in 2016. And we have this year to get some regulation in place before that happens.
Well, learn from Colorado and Washington. I know Nebraska and
Oregon now and Nebraska Alaska.
And Idaho were complaining about what's Colorado. Or
maybe I've heard. I think it's
Nebraska.
I thought it was Nebraska that's now looking at suing Colorado.
Two of the adjacent states because of, you know, they're bringing stuff across. So obviously the feds have to deal with this thing too.
Yeah. But so hopefully we'll see some change on that this year. But again, issues that they didn't break this year, but they've worsened over the course of the year. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by. Hopefully the goose is ready. I think there was goose in your quote somewhere.
Was there goose in there?
Yeah. Yeah, or come back tomorrow. I'm going to raise your salary.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate you offering that.
And you're saying that's all your employees here on the radio? Good job. All right. I'm glad I could help with your Christmas spirit by being here.
Just as you did, sir.
Y'all heard it, right? You heard it, right? Yeah. So, okay.
Thanks for coming by, Mark. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Joyce, tomorrow afternoon, it's Christmas. We'll have a special show. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hugs, love. See you tomorrow.